One of my favorites, and I hate to say that, as you know, but it's one of my favorites. And the writer said, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is great. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is a King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God, the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." Are you ready to give him some praise today? Are you ready to exalt him today? I mean, now is God worthy? I mean, I'm not going to preach to you right now, but has God done anything for anybody in the house today? I mean, do you feel like you got a reason to smile or a reason to be grateful and thankful for the goodness of God? I'm telling you, I'm going to believe God today that whatever we've brought into the house of the Lord, that we're going to be able to lay it down and we're going to be able to walk out of here with a renewed vigor and freedom and joy because we've been in the presence of Almighty God. Now, the Bible says to sing praises. It didn't say to sing a song. Anybody can sing a song. We're not here to sing a song, but we are here to sing some praises to God. Is God worthy of that, right? Is God? Let's stand to our feet right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless the Berea Church of God today. I bless our worship today. I just pray that you be magnified and glorified in the house. Now, Father, we're not going to sing songs, but we are going to sing some praise. And so, Father, receive our praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a great big hand clap.
And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn and be follow with me that I read today. But I love this. I love that passage. And if I was going to talk, if I was going to label or title, I should say, a message, I would title this Entertaining Jesus. Because when we talk about the word entertainment, most of the time we think of a show or we think of acting, that we are entertained by a performance. But the word entertain also means to make someone feel welcome. So whenever we talk about entertaining Jesus in a worship setting, I'm talking about making him welcome in the worship setting. There's always some, I will call them well-meaning. I'm going to make an assumption that they're well-meaning, but people that say, well, he's always, you know, when you talk about Jesus being present, they say, well, he's always, you know, that kind of stuff. But there's a difference in welcoming him into our presence than just realizing he's here. Now, we can all realize, well, he's omnipresent, so he is here. But then we make him welcome. And we make him welcome in our worship and in our praise and honored him as you have to this point. A few weeks ago, we had Palm Sunday, and we focused on that event, particularly that's recorded. For me, I love the event in Luke 19. Where Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the masses worshiped him. And the Bible said with a loud praise, it was a loud worship, very emotional worship. I mean, you cannot read that passage without seeing emotion, the raw emotion of the worshiper. I mean, cutting down branches from a tree, taking their outer garments off and waving them and throwing them on the ground so that a donkey would walk on them. And it was such loud emotional worship that the religious folks were disturbed by it and wanted them to be quiet. Most of us know that story very well. But our worship needs to be, we may not cut down palm branches and take our coats off and throw them in the floor, but was it last Palm Sunday I think it was last Palm Sunday that Brother Roy walked up to our steps at the time we had here. It was either a year ago or 2 years ago, Brother Roy, if you remember, took his coat off and laid it on the steps, just without being prompted, without being asked. And that set off a chain, if you remember, particularly of men that had suit coats on, that were taking their sport coats and their suit coats off and walking up to the steps that were here at the time and laying them on the steps as a sign of taking our garments off and laying them before the Lord in our worship. And the Holy Ghost just moved her powerfully that day. But that was an act of spontaneous worship. I am reading a book right now that I shouldn't even bring it up because I don't want to get sidetracked, but I'm being convicted as I read that book because God wants to do something in the house of the Lord that has not been rehearsed or planned. God wants to do something where people just spontaneously worship Him because He's worthy. That we don't let ourselves be bound to a structure that we're afraid to get out of and we're afraid to break. The Holy Ghost is not bound by our structure, is He? The Holy Ghost isn't bound by our plan. I've told you often that I didn't do a fancy one today, or I didn't type it up, but I sat out here this morning and just jotted down on a piece of paper how I wanted the service to flow. And we've done that, but I don't ever want to think that I have to expect God to move in my structure. I don't want to think that we have to sing a certain number of songs a certain way and have a certain plan because that's our structure. And if you get out of the structure, then, you know, we lose our minds. And we think, well, if God is going to move in this, you know, He's got to move in the way that we expect Him or that we want Him to do. But God, I believe, is well pleased when a man hears from the Holy Ghost, takes his coat off and lays it on the steps and goes and sits down. And then men just follow His lead because the Spirit of God prompts us. I think God is pleased when somebody is moved upon by the Spirit of God and they say, I'm not worried about song service. I'm not worried about its offering time. I'm not worried about whatever. I'm going to go seek the Lord. I feel like I need to be in an altar of prayer. I think it's wonderful when somebody is moved on by the Holy Ghost and feels like it's fine to get up and walk across the church and lay hands on somebody and pray over them and speak a word into them because that's of God. I mean, if that's of God. I think that the church needs to just relax a little bit and let God do what God wants to do and not get so caught up in our own thought, and that we need to come to the house and say, all right, I'm here for what? Why am I even here? Why did I even bother to come if I'm not going to make Jesus welcome in the house? And if I'm not going to allow Jesus to be glorified in the house, and if I'm not going to focus on Jesus in the house, why do I even come? Just stay at the house and watch Emmanuel Baptist on television. They're a good, very good church. Watch them on television. Pull somebody up online and watch them. Listen to a preaching sermon somewhere and just drink your coffee and lounge on your living room couch. We are here, however, to say, Father God, I'm willing to take my coat off. I'm willing to lay my program aside. I'm ready to lay my agenda aside, and I'm going to bring some glory and honor to the house, and I welcome Jesus in my worship experience because He's worthy. And so I'm going to worship Him because He's worthy. And the psalmist said, here's how we welcome Him. He said, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Now, we clap our hands in the house, but why do we clap our hands in the house? And the clapping our hands is a sign of approval, number one. I mean, in a worldly
event, somebody giving a speech, and somebody says something that the crowd approves, they give them a hand clap, right? But you know, it's also an expression of joy. People get excited and they're happy and they clap their hands. I was down on the floor preaching last Sunday, and I'm standing there preaching, and I look over to my right. They're not here today, but Orville and Kathy, you know, they were sitting there, and they had their beautiful little granddaughter, Blakely. You know, Kathy was holding Blakely in her lap, and I look over, and if Blakely, you know, she's just happy and smiles all the time, and I'm not saying she was smiling at me. I like to think she was, but I don't think she was. She was just smiling, but she was looking my way, and I looked over at her, and I don't know if you saw me. I gave her a little one of these while I was preaching, and she went... That little happy clap. And you know, I thought about why we even bother to clap our hands in the house of the Lord. Now I know that all of us, including me, your pastor, we can fall into a trap of doing things that are just habitual, are things that are just routine, are things that we just do and not think about why we do it. You know, we can raise hands and we can sing the song and we can close the eyes and we can even get the sway going on and we can have all this stuff going on and really not think about what we're doing or even why we're doing it. It's just something that we do. And I can say, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you know, we give it that. And somebody can just clap, you know, because, you know, the beat to the song or whatever. And we do that too. But you know what? Clapping before the Lord is biblical, and clapping before the Lord is very spiritual. And guess what else? Clapping before the Lord can be prophetic. Here's how. The word clap in the Hebrew text literally means to sound a trumpet. Israel, excuse me, I'm a little raspy, but Israel, they had the silver trumpets or shofars that they would blow in the camp, that they had signals of how the trumpet blasts were. They, however the trumpet blasts were, they knew together at the tabernacle. However it was, they knew how to get up and pack and begin to move. I mean, there were messages in the sound of the trumpet. Well, the Bible says to clap your hands is meaning to sound a trumpet. So when we clap our hands in worship of Almighty God, that we then are signaling something. We're just not keeping the beat to a song. We're just not, you know, say, well, that was a good line Brother Hobbs had. Oh, that was a good speech he made today. Well, that was a good, we're just not doing that. But we are making some expression of a signal to ourselves and to those that we worship with. But here's another meaning to the word clap. It means to pitch a tent. Now, one of my favorite verses is found here in Isaiah 59:2, where Isaiah said to enlarge the place of your habitation, that means your tent. They would put panels, you all I'm sure know this, but to enlarge the tent, they would just add a panel to it to make it longer. But when you made it bigger, what did that require? A longer rope to hold a bigger tent. But what did the longer rope require? A bigger stake. Because the bigger the tent, the bigger the stake. And so God said, enlarge the place of your habitation. So God is saying to the church, what? It's time to expand your place of abiding. He's not talking about building a bigger church building. He's talking about your relationship. Build a bigger place for God to dwell in your life and for God to pour into your life. And the bigger that you build for God, the more God is going to pour into you and the more habitation God will have. And so that requires what? A bigger stake to drive in the ground. And so the Bible says that when you clap your hands, it's like driving a stake into the ground. So that's where praise and clapping your hands becomes prophetic, because here's what we do. We begin to see God doing something in our life that expands our life, that makes our life bigger, that makes our life larger, that makes the blessing and habitation of God greater, and we begin to praise Him. Every hand clap, I'm driving my stake deeper in the ground. Every time I clap. My tent's getting bigger. Every time I clap, God's going to do something greater. Every time I clap, I'm going to see God do something mighty in my life. Come on, let's expand that tent a little bit right now. We are prophesying into our future. So when we pray and we worship and we magnify God, we clap our hands. It's biblical and prophetic that we're declaring our future in the eyes of God and in the presence of the church. Clapping our hands is a sign of joy, as I said about Blakely. But the Bible said in Isaiah 55:12 that we will go forth with joy and we will go forth with praise, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Now I want you to think about that. When you go home today, when you walk out of the church today, and these trees we got in our landscaping, the trees you'll pass on your way home, there'll no doubt be a breeze blowing, and you might see those branches moving. I want you to think of Isaiah 55. Now I want you to think that the Bible says we'll go forth with joy, and the trees are clapping and praise to Almighty God. Do you know what? The Bible says the heavens will declare its glory. The Bible says that creation magnifies its creator. Come on now, somebody. And I'm telling you, if the trees of the field can clap their hands in joy of their creator, how much more should human beings that are saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ give praise and glory and honor to our Savior and to our creator? Come on, let's praise him real good. It's biblical. We clap our hands to God, and not only clap our hands, but the writer said we shout praise to God. We shout praise to God. Pentecostals are noted. I'm reading about revival. In every outbreak of revival, every time there was a revival, there were manifestations of the power and the move of God. The manifestations were not always received well by the world. They were not always received well by the church. I read a quote. I'm not going to try to quote it, but of a leading minister back in the day. I mean, I'm talking about the 1900s, I should say, that didn't have good things to say about Pentecostals. Called us names, actually, that we were uncouth and that kind of thing. But he talked about how nominal churches for his day were dried up. And he said, I'd rather hang out with uncouth people that had some life than to hang out with sophisticated people that had no life. Now, I don't know if he's complimenting us or not. I'm not here to debate that. But I am here to say, Lord, I want to thank you that you allow me to hang out with people that enjoy a little bit of spiritual life about them. Do I have a witness from anybody else? I'm all about worship, and I love worship of all kind. I can worship God anywhere. And I know that churches have their liturgy and all that, and that's all cool. That's all fine if they give glory and honor to God. But I tell you what I like. I like to be around people that are absolutely free. Do I have any free people in the house today? I mean free. I love to be around free people that knows what it's like to be set free. Come on now, help me, will you? I mean, I love to be around free people that remember what it was like to be bound, but now celebrate what it's like to be free. Now I tell you, if the Lord has set you free, what does the Bible say? You are what? Free indeed. That means that there is nothing then that should wrap you up, lock you up, tie you up, and keep you from giving praise to God, because you have been set free. And part of our worship, part of biblical, not denominational, not somebody's idea, but part of our biblical worship is that we shout praise to God, because a shout of praise says, I am not ashamed of what my God has done for me, and I will praise him. Hallelujah! My God is worthy. Come on, somebody help me praise him, will you? My God's worthy. And so we're going to shout.
We're going to shout praise to God because the Bible says there are 13 times in the scripture where men are commanded to shout joyfully to God. A shout is simply verbalized praise, where the word shout means to split the ears with sound. It's meant to make you uncomfortable and to be heard. We shout because of his presence. Isaiah 12 and verse 6 says, "Cry out and shout, you inhabitants of Israel, for great is the Holy One in the midst of thee." God is in the house. Now, if I can go back to something I've already said, that, yeah, there are those, oh, yeah, yeah, well, you know, God's everywhere. Oh, yeah, God's omnipresent. Oh, you know, I one time said something, you know, on Facebook. I don't do stuff like this anymore, but I said something about, oh, man, woo, God was in the house today, and somebody that used to come to church here said, well, you know, God's everywhere all the time. You're just saying, you know. Well, I didn't need that smart aleck to tell me that. As a matter of fact, I wanted to reach through Facebook cyberspace and group. I mean, that's what it felt like. But I didn't need that smart aleck to tell me that, because I know God is everywhere, right? Can I get an amen? I mean, anywhere you go, you're going to find God, right? The psalmist said, "Where shall I flee from your presence? If I go to hell, you're there. If I go up the sky, you're there. Wherever I go, you're there." I mean, God is everywhere. He meant the grave. God is everywhere. So we know God is everywhere. But there is something different. Come on now, Pentecostal, I want you to hear this. There's something different about what we call in the church the manifest presence of God. The presence of God is always here. But the manifest presence of God is when God does something among us that our eyes can look at and see, and we can leave the house and say, man, God was in the house. Hallelujah. Now, don't you want some manifest presence of Almighty God, don't you? Do you want to see God saving people? Do you want to see God healing people? Do you want to see God baptizing people in the Holy Ghost? Do you want to see God breaking the chain off of? Do you want to see that? I do too. Now I want to tell you, I'm ready for my eyes to behold the power and the greatness of God doing great things for the people of God. Will somebody in the house help me give God a praise right now? He is worthy. Hallelujah. Cry out and shout, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. We're called to shout because we have victory. We're called to shout because of his divinity. We're called to shout because we have joy. We're called to shout because we're blessed. We have a reason to shout praise to God, and the Bible gives us an outlet to give praise to God. We're called to clap our hands, and we're called to shout praise. And Berea Church of God, I think it's time that we start prophesying to ourselves and declaring our future by the grace and the power of God. We will see the hand and the power and the majesty of God at work in our life and at work in our church. Will you prophesy that right now and give God praise for that? Because he will. The Bible says that he will. And we honor and we acknowledge him. The psalmist then said, as king, because he's high and lofty and omnipotent and eminent in his domain. He is God alone. Psalm 83:18. The Bible said that men may say that thy name alone is Jehovah, and you're the most high in all the earth. Revelation 19:6, the voice of a great multitude in heaven sounded like many waters and thunderings, and they shouted, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Paul wrote to Timothy and said he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. We praise him because we acknowledge his power. He has power over sickness, and he has power over disease. I am, most of the time, I think when I preach something like this, I say something like this. That I am not here to make excuse for any situation that happens. I'm not here to ignore things that we don't understand. But I am here to say this, that let God be true, let every man be a liar. God is our healer. Sickness and disease bows to the name of Jesus. It cannot stand in the presence of Christ. He's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everything that is named, the Bible says, if it has a name, it will bow. If it can be called something, it will bow. When the doctor comes in with an x-ray and circles it, I remember visiting them, one of our members years ago, and they had the x-ray. And they went to heaven, but they had the x-ray. And the doctor had circled the x-ray. And they were sitting there in their kitchen saying, yeah, that's cancer, yeah. And they said, that's cancer, and yeah. They said they had it circled on an x-ray and was naming it. But you know what? I preached their funeral. But you know what else I know? That Jesus' name is greater than cancer. His name is greater than heart trouble. His name is greater than autoimmune disease. His name is greater than arthritis. His name is greater than anything that can be named. Does anybody in the house believe that he is a healer of sickness and disease, and there's nothing that can stand before him? That's why we pray for the sick, and that's why we believe God, and that's why we trust God. We were reminded, my family, we were talking and reminded of my own miracle. But I'm not going to be here to talk about that, except to say I'm reminded that I don't understand all the ways of God. But I'll tell you this, that we get locked in to our own little box and way of thinking and fail sometime to remember that the Bible said his ways are far above our ways and his thoughts are way above our thoughts. So we got our box that we think about things in the box here, but God says, no, no, no. I am higher than the highest heaven. God says your ways are not my ways of doing things. God says the way you think, it's not the way I think. We think about the box, but God says, no, I think about something much larger than a box. Hallelujah to God. So that's why believers can do this. That's why believers can preach the word and speak the word and anoint and lay hands and pray and believe. And we can stand beside a casket and we can say that God is faithful to his word, because God will do what he said he would do. And I'm telling you that those that have died in Christ are alive and healthy and well, because God has made a promise to us and a promise to them. And I'm telling you, there is life in the presence of God. Help me praise him for that right now, will you? We love and trust and believe him. But we don't ever back up and back away because things don't work out the way we've prayed or want them to happen. But we believe the word. And that's why I'll stand before you. And I know you might get tired of hearing me say this, but you may visit me this week at the funeral home. I don't know what my future holds, but I want you to know this, that I went out of this world preaching that my God is a healer, and that his word is true, and that my God has authority over every sickness and every disease, and by his stripes I am healed. Glory be to God, and I give him all praise and glory for that. In the name of Jesus right now, I feel compelled to say right now, I'm going to prophesy to somebody right now that in the name of Jesus be well, in the name of Jesus be healed, in the name of Jesus be delivered. I declare you well by the authority of the word of God and by the power of Jesus' name, you shall walk in health and healing. Somebody praise him right now. Prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. Prophesy to yourself.
Prophesy to yourself. Declare yourself well. Declare yourself healed. Declare your family whole. Declare your family free from drugs and alcohol. Hallelujah. Rebuke division in your home. Rebuke division in your church. Rebuke division in your life. Rebuke division everywhere you go and declare the health and the healing of Almighty God. Somebody help me. Help me praise him right now, will you? I'm telling you, God is speaking that to somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm almost done. I used to be in this camp, so I'm confessing to you. But the folks that were scared of charismatics, and I was in that camp. Well, the charismatics would talk about, and I heard charismatic ministers say things like, you know what I just said, prophesy. And I remember, James, I bucked up. I remember it so well. I just bucked up in my spirit, you know. Prophesy. Who do they think they are? Prophecy is a gift. A prophet is an office in the church. And all that's true, by the way. But who do they think they are that they can just prophesy to their life, to their future? And isn't it wonderful how the Holy Ghost has a way of just turning you? If you're pliable, he'll turn you when you need to be turned. And I think it broke in me when this happened. Stand it right here. I'm preaching, and I thought about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things and it's the evidence of what we've seen. Now, those are future things, right? Those are things that have not yet happened. So when somebody says, speak faith, you believe in speaking faith? I do. I do. So what are you doing? Speaking to something that hasn't happened. Speaking to something you haven't seen evidence of. So what do we call that? It's prophetic ministry. That you're taking on the role of a prophet by speaking faith and declaring something to happen that hadn't yet happened. And then I get into Isaiah, I get into Psalm 47. Prophecy. I'm believing God. God's going to do something. God's going to move. I got things before the throne. God's not yet answered. I've circled some things on my prayer list that God hadn't yet done. But you know what I do? I go to the prayer room tomorrow and I pray about them again. God don't answer them tomorrow the way I think. I go and I pray again. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk the floor and I'm going to go, hallelujah. My God answers prayer. My God hears me when I pray. I declare the move of God in my life. I declare my life changed, challenged, and different because I serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can think or ask. And I'm going to praise him in advance for what God is going to do. I've not yet seen what God's going to do, but I'm telling you, Berea Church of God, get ready. God's about to shake the doors and shake the walls and shake the floor. God's about to shake you, and God's about to shake me, and God's about to take us somewhere we've never been before. Are you ready to go there? Do you want to go and see God do something you've never seen God do before? Then just speak that in your life and declare that in your life and believe that God hears you when you pray. And the next time you worship God and you start finding yourself doing this, keep prophesying. Keep prophesying. Keep giving God glory. Keep giving God some praise. Would you stand to your feet, please? And I'm going to stretch you right now. I'm just going to stretch you. Guys, come on up and do what you're going to do. But I'm going to stretch you right now. And you're probably going to feel uncomfortable is what I'm saying. Some of you might feel uncomfortable. But I want us right now to get in our mind. I want you right now to get in your mind. What is it that you've got before God that has not yet been manifested to you? Okay, get it right now. Get it in a hurry. Got it? Okay, you got it, and God has not yet manifested what you've been asking and been praying and believing. Okay, you got it? Now, do you believe, do you really believe that God is going to manifest that and bring that to pass in your life? Do you believe that? Okay, now let's do what the Bible says. Not what Brother Hobbs says, not what the denomination, but let's do what God says. God's word says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Prophesy. Speak the word. Declare the word. In the name of Jesus, I shall see the hand of God at work in my life. I shall see the power of God released in my life. I shall see health and healing in my life. My role will be filled with people. The altar will have new births in it. The Holy Ghost baptism will flow through the house. Revival's gonna come to the people of God. Oh my God, shout. Somebody shout praise right now. Hallelujah. What are you gonna do?
Shout Jesus